Certainly, I would presume that what would drive someone to be drawn into missions would be a heart for the lost and a desire to share their faith, but they really need to be grounded in the Word, really need to be grounded in biblical philosophy of ministry. And another thing that would serve them well is to take advantage of lots of other opportunities to minister cross-culturally, or even just to live cross-culturally. Kind of opens up your eyes a whole lot.
I would just add, first thing to do is don't keep it a secret. Michael Griffith says it's one thing for a candidate to express their willingness, but it's the local church's responsibility to accredit their worthiness. So church leaders need to know. Your missions committee needs to know, I'm interested in missions. And they can help guide that process of biblical ministry development to kind of test and verify the gifting and skills that it takes to do cross-cultural ministry. A little side note is kind of an ad, but go to propempo.com. I dare you. Go to propempo.com and do a search on missionary call, and there's an article there that develops a biblical thoughts on a missionary call.
How do you spell that?
P-R-O-P-E-M-P-O. It's not pro tempo like time, but pro pempo, three P's in it.
I agree with my brethren here. But along this line, when I started, actually, I was just like perhaps most average Christians, going to church, deacon for so many years, until the time when I heard John MacArthur said something. He said, when you all prayed up, you love the Lord, if you're married, you love your wives and your children, just do it. If you have a clear conscience, just do it. Just do it. So it sounds like a Nike commercial, but it's true. Just do it. And the doors will open. The doors will open. God will, providentially, will place you in a position where you can really start working, you know, in the ministry, whatever it is. Whether it's Tunisia, the Philippines, anywhere. Even here in Maryland. So, just do it.
May I add a kind of a secular thought? If you're thinking that God is calling you there, and all of what has been said is, of course, true, but you might try contacting a sending body that you're considering working with, asking them what they expect of you in training, in education, in preparation, and they can give you steps that you might see, oh, that's going to take me a while, but it's time to start and see what they want you to do.
Why don't you all take just a couple of minutes and just give everyone an idea as to your experience in missions, you know, what mission field you visited, what mission field you lived in. Just take a couple minutes, each of you, and go through and let us know about that. I think that might be helpful.
I go back.
Is it on?
It goes back to a time when I was in the Navy. It started there because what happened from that, while I was in the Navy overseas, I met this young lady right here. And we were married. We came back, and we got involved in a local church. And in the local church, we wanted to take a group that were there. They were missionaries that from our particular denomination. And I wanted them to become aware about them. And we went over. We took them down there. We went and listened, and the speaker that was there made a challenge to us. Would you be willing, and are you open, if God would want to call you to be a missionary? Would you be willing? As long as he leaves the door open. And I remember taking Auburn's hand I think it was followed after that, we went forward and said, we are willing to go wherever he wants to send us. And then obviously that you have to take the steps to get trained and to go through the whole process. But I think that we were, God was dealing with us. Are you willing to go? You don't have to be forced. You don't just go because somebody says you ought to go. But are you willing to go? And that was the first step that opened the door for us to actually go out and be for 15 years in Costa Rica and then in Argentina and see how God grew us and helped us share the gospel in another language in another country.
And where was that?
Excuse me?
Where was that?
We served in Argentina. In the interior.
Okay, everyone's being too bashful. That's almost unbelievable. I'm of the Jim Elliott School of Missionary Call. We don't need a call more than what we have in Scripture. We need a kick in the pants. So basically, my wife and I were attracted to missions because of contact with missionaries in our home. Our parents had missionaries in the home every chance they had. We enjoyed, Mexican food and pizza and Chinese food. So we thought, all right, unless the Lord stops us or indicates clearly otherwise, we want to pursue going to the mission field. So we did. And we steadily increased our contact and appreciation for cross-cultural ministry, other cultures and languages, and got our Bible training and local church training and served in the local church and felt like we were under authority from our church leaders and then eventually our mission agency leaders to go where we would be most needed. And we didn't have a field in mind when we applied, but by the end of that process, we felt confident that God was leading us to the Philippines, and we just took step by step from there.
In my case, my wife is actually over there, my wife, 41 years. We started the medical mission, which is really not, there are a lot of medical missions going on in this country, a lot of missions like that. But in my case, I believe God led us to this mission ministry when I joined a group of so-called medical missionaries in the Philippines, sometime in 97. 98, I noticed that there was no gospel sharing at all. It was just good works. Just good works. And on my way to Zambales, which is about so many miles from Manila, I got sick. And the chartered bus that we were riding was in trouble. So they started to pray the rosary. I was in the back seat. I said, Lord, what's going on here, right? What am I doing here? And to make the story short, I actually was a changed man after that. It just bothered me. And I started to, prior to this event, I started witnessing actually to my own colleagues, even to the director of mission, and I witnessed to many people silently. You know, imagine if you're doing some mission work, you're inside a Roman Catholic Church with a lot of idols around you, and I have to do it silently, witnessing to every patient that comes to me. Ever since then, when I went back home, I told my wife about it. And lo and behold, I found myself in seminary to be equipped. And I was ordained in 2003. And from there on, after I retired just about 2 years ago, I'm now more or less a full-time medical missionary, evangelist, and some church planning overseas, especially the Philippines. We even went to Central America. At the same time, we also praise the Lord for all the help that the provisions he has given us for the last 9 years. And here I am. I was telling Pastor David that our meeting was really providential. Everything is providential. It's ordained by God. If you're Calvinistic, it is ordained by God. Whatever happens to you. So my advice for young people who are willing to be missionaries. Remember, the word missionary seems like you're sending someone out there. We're all ambassadors for Christ. You know, I mean, what the Apostle told us that. So we're all ambassadors for Christ, and whatever your skill is, whether you're a nurse or dentist, you have to give up teaching. You use it. Use it like these people did, and the Lord will, I'm sure, will bless you in all these efforts.
Many of the early missionaries from this country went out as part of a student movement, God working in universities to raise up ambassadors for Christ around the world. That was many years before me, but it was very similar in my case. I was involved with campus ministry at college and learned on the front lines about evangelism, discipleship, and a real heart for the lost. And through that time, learned that there was an opportunity. I was studying engineering and learned of an opportunity for an organization that was something like a Christian Peace Corps, where you would use your vocational skills to go out and help meet the physical needs of people, but work with a team of others through the local churches to develop them spiritually in evangelism, discipleship, and so on. And so Carol and I joined the staff of Campus Crusade for Christ and the very fledgling Agape movement within Crusade. Got married a few months later, and a year after that, after some training and support development, found ourselves in southern Africa, in a country that probably no one has ever heard of, called Maputo-Tswana. It's the same tribe of people as are in Botswana. In fact, we lived just a stone's throw from Botswana. And we can share a little bit more about the experience there as we go along.
It's interesting. A lot of the what you all were saying, heard a couple of common threads. One is knowing Scripture, being impressed by the Lord from the Word that going out and preaching the gospel is necessary, and also thinking in terms of the need. Obviously, there's a great need, and I know a lot of folks will look around and they'll say, "Well, there's a lot of needs here, and there's a lot of needs right in my own backyard, and there are a lot of needs in my own family. Why should I go out there?" It's something that really impressed the need to go cross-cultural missions, to go beyond my own sphere of influence, is knowing that there are so many other nations and so many other people in the world who haven't heard the gospel at all, who don't have the plethora of churches and Bible colleges and seminaries and Christian bookstores and Christian radio and all of those sorts of things available readily at their fingertip. And so thinking in terms of where is the greatest need for the gospel, where is the greatest need and what I can do to fit in with that. Another question I want to throw out there, and thinking about that, because a number of you mentioned just your experience in the local church as well. What is the church's role in assisting someone in pursuing missions? And we kind of sort of talked about that already. But a person who steps up to his elders and says, "You know, I think I want to go into missions." What should that look like? What's been your experience?
Well, we just heard a sermon this morning. Some heavy Greek word that Pastor David used here. Actually, you send him along. You know, worthy. Is that how you say it? Worthy in a manner of truth and love. Faithfully, you send him. we should encourage people who wants to go to mission. Build them up. Encourage them. And of course, you have to make sure that it's not just an emotional or sentimental reason. You have to use reason and logic. You have to use strategy. You have to count the cost of discipleship. You really have to count the cost. It will cost you a lot. It will cost you a lot. And that's a word of truth, you know, from our Lord. It will cost you to be a disciple. But we should encourage anyone who is willing and available to do the work, the ministry of mission, to go and with our love and our support.
I don't think that there's a difference in principle between raising up a missionary from your local church body and raising up elders or leaders in your local church body. The same kind of process of guidance and careful training so that the person is completely elder qualified, according to 1 Timothy 3. You want that kind of quality of person representing you in ministry out on the foreign field. So you work with them in similar ways. There may be additional things like cross-cultural exposure and some other things that wouldn't necessarily be present for training a leader for this very congregation. But you're going through the same sort of training and certification process, if you will, for people who feel like cross-cultural missions is what God wants them to do.
One of the things as pastor that I tried to do over the years and was that to have what we call real live missionaries from different areas to come into the church and tell their story rather than me telling the story for them. And then giving a challenge, are you willing? Are you willing to be open to God calling you to go out there? Because after all, the world's out there in comparison to just what's in the United States. There are lost millions out there. And we need to call out the call, the ones that God's that are calling, and let them become acquainted with those that are in different areas. And that's what I hear about the church here and observed and looking forward to see more of that, of going out into a world that is lost.
May I just say, too, that there are missionaries that are, as our brother said, there are medical missionaries, but there's all kinds of missionaries, not just pastors. There's teachers, secretaries. We knew one who was a physical therapist on with our board, and he was the first physical therapist to go out. But would you have thought of that? There are farmers. There are agriculturists. There are anything you name, anything that is in your heart to do, the Lord can use, I'm sure, in another country. If your heart is willing, as we say. I think being willing is probably one of the, besides being in the Word, of course, and in prayer, but your heart has to be willing.
So I guess then a transitional sort of question is, we're thinking about the person and their individual call. What about the church in general? What's the And part of this has already been said, I guess, but what's the significance of a church's vision for missions? What is the impact of that on individuals, for the church?
I'd say all the difference in the world. If the church has no vision and is not sharing what missions is, how is anybody going to know? It's like, how are they going to hear if there's not a preacher? Well, somebody has to mention there's people out there on the other side of the world. And there are different kinds of peoples as well, because we're hearing this morning about the Muslim groups and those in the worlds where they can't even tell where they live, or they can't give their work. They have to work in something else. There are, on the other side, peoples like we found in Argentina. It's a Roman Catholic country. Most of them are lost. They don't know the Lord. It's just Roman Catholic in name. So it's a, they think they're Christian. So we were on the other side, having to try to let people realize they're not Christian. It, just like in this country, people think they're Christian and they're not. So you have to convince them that they are not and that they need the Lord before they can see him. So there's different aspects of missions. So if one of them gets you scary, think about the Lord can take you where you can be used and fit what's in your heart, I believe.
I think I missed the question, Rod. Can you say that again?
The significance of the church's vision for missions. What is the significance of that?
The significance of the church.
The church having a vision for missions, a local church, yeah.
Of course, you think of Judea and Samaria. You don't have to go to Tunisia to be a missionary. It's right here. I mean, you can, if you hang out in Starbucks, you can start visiting there. I've done that many times. In fact, you know, the more you witness, it gets you bolder. And you have to pray for it, too. Pray that God will send you someone that you can witness to. You don't have to carry your King James big encyclopedic Bible. They might scare them. Seriously. You have to be diplomatic. You really have to be natural, especially in this Western culture, where everyone is so, you know, if the group is trendy, be trendy. They order latte, order latte. And I'm sure that in Indonesia, you're doing the same thing. You have to be diplomatic and good, especially in this rich country. And I think the problem right now we're facing is the third, talking about the sower, the third soil, I think, is the biggest problem in our country. It's the third soil. You know what I'm talking about. When the soil that's, word is sown by the sower, on the soil where there are thickets and, you know, thistles, and it choke the word. The cares and the deceitfulness of riches. This is a prosperous country. And I was talking to Pastor David that if you look at the third world country, they're more receptive to the word of God. They're more receptive. We have churches here all over. I mean, there's so many churches here. Yet the real gospel is not being shown, not being known. There were a few good preachers around the country now, too. Just because of the third soil. It is deceitful. It's deceitful. And the cares of the world will choke our own personal faith and commitment to bear fruit.
I think the first thing is for the church to understand it's an ownership issue. The part of ProPempo that makes a lot of sense to people is it's all of our responsibility to help fulfill the Great Commission. And so when everyone in the church understands that it's not just something that's done over there, like an extension out away from us, that is part of us. And our prayers and our money and our concern for them really make a difference in their work. So having that ownership as part of the vision of the local church is extremely important. And I've seen it on the field side. Missionaries that are supported and shepherded well by their sending churches are the envy of everyone on the field. Because there's not that many Christian workers, missionaries on the field that have that kind of ownership from their sending church. And when it happens, it's awesome. Did you hear all of the care package Christmas gift suggestions in the Williams description of what their kids like? Did you get that? Yeah, and there you go.
Yeah, I would suggest, too, that God's design for the church is for it to be an evangelistic, outwardly focused organism. Any church that does not have a vision and an active ministry in missions, whether it's elsewhere in this country or certainly around the world, is going to dry up. It is just going to cease within maybe a generation or two to be really a biblical church. I mean, it's a part of what God has called us to do. It's not something that's just tacked on. And to the extent that we are not just supporting missionaries but sending missionaries, that's an indication that we are sending people right next door, right here, in preparation. that that's a part of our vision for why God has placed us right here. It's a sign that we're a healthy church, that we're involved at all levels of outreach to the lost.
That's good. One thing that one of you mentioned is just thinking about cross-cultural ministry and thinking about exposure to cross-cultural ministry. And I think about my own job, and I'm sure this is true for many of you all as well. In my job, I have young ladies from India. I have someone who's Polish in background. I have someone who is German in background. And my new manager, I've gone through a few managers recently, but she's Hispanic. So we have a plethora of different cultural backgrounds right in that one little branch of the bank. And that's just kind of representative of what we see in our communities, what we see in our just going out on the street every day. And so we always have opportunities to get exposed to other cultures. And one thing for you to do is just get to know people who are from different cultures. Ask them questions. Ask them what they do for holidays. Ask them why they do certain things. And they'll be willing to tell you. They'll talk to you about it. That way you can pray for them more specifically. You can find out where they are, and you can look for opportunities. In our evangelism class, we talked about cues to sharing the gospel with people. And I'm stealing that terminology from something else. But we talked about cues. So where the person is spiritually, what they do, how they worship God, what are some different things that they say about God? What are some different things that they say about Jesus? In normal conversation, how do they operate? How does their family operate? And so looking for different cues and ways to share with them the gospel. And even learning, just learning about their culture. A number of short-term trips are just that, cultural learning experiences. You don't really have enough time to set up shop and to preach the gospel, but you have the opportunity to learn about the culture so that you can be better equipped to share with those people, those folks.
Rod, if I could add to that, I don't know if you all realize it, but we live in a very strategic area of the world. People are coming to us. Mm-hmm. People from closed countries are coming to us. And we have great opportunity here to be effective in reaching out to these people, some of whom are going back to their closed countries mm-hmm. or influencing their families back in those countries. So we have a very strategic opportunity right here.
I'm going to ask a few more more specific, more personal questions regarding you all's experience in missions on the mission field. What were some of the greatest challenges in your family, for your family, while you were on the mission field? You guys weren't challenged at all? No problems.
Well, if you say family, I guess my ears perk up. There are challenges, spiritual challenges and just plain everyday challenges, beginning with language and culture that you need to learn both. And in seeing our children, we had three when we went there. We brought home five. And they're ours, yes. They were born there. And seeing their needs as they first went there and did not know the language or the culture. But that takes time, and you have to realize, you know, it takes time to be comfortable in both. But you learn things, and you learn people, and that brings about their needs. And the challenge is to be a part of it, I suppose. And we learned to love Argentina. I mean, that's home. And all of our children just feel that's home. This is home, too, of course, this country. But it's taken them a little while. We've been back 15 years, 23. Oh, my gracious. We've been back 23 years. And our children consider this home. But you mentioned Argentina, and their whole body lights up. So it was good to see, but that's not always easy, that your children learn to love the country. So that it is a challenge to meet people and to be a part and be at home and minister in that situation. I guess the other thing is the culture in, for us, would have been the Roman Catholic culture is a challenge to, as I said, you realize they're lost and they think they're going to heaven or going to have to work their way to heaven. And so you have to overcome over time. You have to be friends and being able to share that with them, that the way to know you're going to heaven is not by your works. And for Catholics, that's very difficult to accept. So that's another challenge.
During the time that we were overseas, we didn't have children of our own at the time. For us, family meant the family we'd left behind at home. So it's, of course, hard to miss them. And there were many challenges for us to get used to that culture. It helped us greatly that the place where we were, the people were very warm, very accepting of us. Because of our color, we stood out, and that made them curious, which really gave us opportunities to share the gospel. They wanted to know why we were there. So while there were many painful adjustments, there were also so many blessings. I think in many ways we feel like we brought home more than we gave. God just used it in our lives that way.
I remember an experienced statement after several times we took groups of folks back to Argentina for them to see what it is out on a field like that, and especially where we had lived. And they saw the culture and the people and things like that. And when they would come back, I would ask them, what was the most important thing that you learned? And I'll never forget the answer of one lady. She said, I learned that people are more important than things. People are more important than things.
Along those same lines, I guess another question for you guys as you think about, think back on your time in the mission field, what are some of the most valuable lessons you learned about God, about Christ, the Word, etc.?
I guess I can answer that. Maybe about 3-4 years ago, the 17 medical boxes that were supposed to be delivered to the island of Palawan, we were withheld by the customs, notoriously noted for corruption. And I knew it was coming, and they wouldn't let it go. And one custom official asked me if I was Catholic. I said, no, I have to use the word Baptist at the time. The more they hold, the more they held the boxes, and they opened the boxes. They were sitting in front of me, and I told them, "Look, I'm not. I can sense that they're just waiting for me to give the bribe." And I said, "I don't bribe. I'll give you each $10 if you help me load those boxes in the van outside." They would not do it. Until I met the official, and who was there, and they put the boxes in a bodega, a storeroom, where it was kept with a big padlock. And that evening, we were all praying. For the first time, I was on my knees, including the pastors that were working with me. We called everyone, including here in this country. And the following day, God answered the prayer. We went to the same place. I overheard one of the worker asking someone from his cell phone, "Where is the key to open the door?" the storehouse. He said, it's in the right-hand pocket of baby Jesus. Apparently, there was a, you know, in the Roman Catholics, you have baby Jesus, niños, and little boy, baby boy Jesus. Apparently, it was on the right-hand Levi pocket of baby Jesus. And he found it. When he found it, I said, thank you, Jesus. Literally. From then on, this deacon who helped me talk with the official, in other words, he mediated what we do, that this is really a legit medical missionary. And we're behind 2 days now. People are waiting in Palawan Islands. And I learned from this that, you know, with God, anything is possible. God is possible. He's with us. And I remember what the Lord says in Matthew 28. I will be with you even to the end of the age. Even Joshua says the same thing. I mean, God says to Joshua, I will be with you wherever you go. Think about that. Wherever you go, God's with you. Whether in times of persecution or difficulties, He's there. That's what I've learned about mission. He's always there.
I found how important it is to know people in another country. I learned, well, I became a ham operator because that's the way I could communicate back and forth with family back in the States. And I decided one day I really want to get to know the man who signs the permission that allows me as an American to be able to have ham radio and use it and not have it confiscated. And so I wanted to meet this man. And I went into Buenos Aires to meet the man that would sign that. And we became friends. And I'd go into Buenos Aires maybe once every month or two, and I'd go down to see him. And he would have people, brass, sitting out there, Argentine officers. And the receptionist would say over and say, Dr. Ramoser, I'll tell Kirk Roman that you're here. And I would go in there, and I remember saying, but Ricardo, you've got brass sitting out there. And I'm being in, and he said, they can wait. I'd rather talk with you and visit with you. And that was friendship that started to give us an opportunity to witness to him and realize it really is who you know in countries like that.
One of the continual and abiding lessons that we learned was that when you're in another culture, completely different culture, although unfortunately influenced a fair amount by ours, things that you just take for granted aren't happening, and things are happening that you can't understand, and and this goes just generally to areas of living that, you know, things are just done differently, and people do things and say things differently. And in the church, things happen differently. We went to an area that had a very long missions heritage. Churches had been there for hundreds of years and were pretty much dead. And a lot of the traditions that they were continuing in those churches probably had some good basis behind them, but nobody could remember them. And it forced us, both in just general cultural things and in the church as well, to evaluate, now, is this different because it's just different? Or is it different because it's better than what we're used to? Or is it different because it's wrong? And it really forced us to think through things biblically throughout all of life and certainly in ministry. And that's been very helpful. It's something that we've taken away from that's actually enriched us.
Well, I think that we are out of time, unfortunately. There's probably any number of questions that we could ask. As we wrap up, does anyone have one or two questions that is just burning in your heart that you want to ask one of these people, one of these dear brothers and sisters? Anything at all? Yes, Colleen.
I would maybe mention here something that I learned fairly early in my Christian life, was that I didn't have a natural bent to evangelism, really. It didn't appear that I was gifted in that. But that every single time I went out to share my faith, I got charged up. That the Lord just showed me He's the one working. That it's His plan. And I think the more that we're on the front lines of sharing the gospel and ministry, the more He builds that conviction and that heart in us.
Let me leave you with this thought, and then we'll pray and go. You know, at the end of 2 Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, he's writing his last words to him. He says to Timothy, thinking back over his life, reflecting on his life and his service to the Lord, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And there is laid up for me a crown, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also all those who have loved his appearing. You know, he talks about the fact that he has fought the good fight. There are a lot of fights. There are a lot of causes. There are a lot of goals and purposes that we can have in this life. But this one thing is the good fight. As we think about missions, as you think about your participation in missions, as we think about Hope Bible Church and what we're going to do and how we're going to be involved in missions, that is a good fight, beloved. That is the good fight. Preaching the gospel, exalting Jesus Christ, calling people, men, women, children, to faith in Jesus Christ. And that is something that all of us are expected to do. That is something that before the Lord and before His coming, all of us are expected to do. And those who love His appearing, He says. Let's look to the Lord in prayer.
Sure. I'm sorry to talk again. Colleen's thoughts made me think of a conversation we had with a couple when we had come home on furlough, and they were in the church and feeling like maybe the Lord was calling them to missions. And Shirley said to me, she said, but I don't feel like a missionary. And I'm thinking maybe some of you all are thinking kind of like Colleen. I don't have that, and I don't feel like a missionary. And I said to her, nobody, as far as I know, nobody feels like missionary. I don't feel like a missionary. I'm just me. And when the Lord gives a tug on your heart in a direction, you just need to be obedient to what He leads you to. Mm-hmm. And that's all.
Amen. Our Father and our God, our Lord and our Savior, we again, just give you thanks for being such a good God to us, for redeeming us from our sin, for commissioning us and putting us into service, serving our Lord and Master, our Chief, our Commander. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of fellowship with these dear brothers and sisters, and even those who have gone out for the sake of the name. We thank you, Father, that we can be fellow workers with them. We thank you, Father, that we can participate in the ministry, in the good fight of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. I pray for myself and my brothers and sisters who hear me, Father, that you would impress upon our hearts the need, the command to fight the good fight, the need for people to hear the gospel, the need to be willing to suffer and endure whatever it takes for the sake of those who are chosen. Father, impress that upon our hearts. Burden us with those who are lost, and gift us and help us to know what those gifts are so that we can serve and so that we can use those gifts for the betterment, the edification of the body, and also for your glory as your Son has preached in the world. We pray this in His name. Amen.